whatever. We went to the big one, because those are the two big malls in Michigan.
Gotcha.
And that's what we ended up at that one.
Okay.
So, yes, trust me, it was on my mind that, wait, we're going to go to Novi? Because it was between going to that one and Grand Rapids.
Right.
And I was like, well, whichever way we go, I mean, so I've never been to a Warhammer store.
Mm, okay.
So, and I want to go to one.
Yeah.
Because, yes, I play 40K now. Why? Because sisters are cool. And I have a 3D printer.
These are valid reasons.
Yeah. But actually, like, me and Nick started talking about one-page rules.
Hmm.
That's why these guys are all sitting right here.
Yeah.
That's my name list for one-page rules. Because it's a really simple rule system.
It is. We talked about it before. We were talking about that on Mobile Arm Radio when we recorded last night.
Were you?
Yeah.
Because I sent that over to, as soon as I saw that, because obviously I'm on one page rules,
yeah.
I saw that, I'm like, oh man, Rob needs to see this.
Yeah. No, it's...
Because he's the one that's more in the social media than you and Pat.
It's all right. I understand.
It just is what it is.
I understand.
I'm not betraying you.
Welcome to Dead Zone, the podcast.
I'm Rick.
I'm Brian. And, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, so Nick was talking about it, so he's starting to build up his Asterians, and he's really loving Dead Zone.
That's awesome.
And, of course, we got DeAndre and Dom, so we have a core group at Goodwill, which is kind of weird.
It's kind of funny.
And they're talking to other people, saying, hey, you should check out this game. If you're interested, go talk to Rick. Like, we need to work, guys.
It's like you're on your lunch break. You got like one bite in, and it's like, okay, Dead Zone is amazing.
Actually, that was essentially today. I was on lunch, and it was, hey Rick, what page should I get? Okay, we went into the whole. You can get Citadel paints at Evolution Games because it's right there and that's what they stock.
Mm-hmm.
But you can go over to Michael's and get Vallejo
because
they have quite a bit of Vallejo there, which I need to go over there to get some airbrush paints.
Ah.
But then you have just your common acrylic paints that we both used.
Yeah, yeah. When I started painting
Walmart Meyer,
ribs, my first paint job getting back into minis after a long year. I just went to get that 24-pack of tube colors.
Well, and the funny thing is, so some of the Facebook groups I've joined from painting perspectives, there's some painters that's literally all they use.
And, you know, it goes a long way.
Guys using an airbrush.
That's kind of surprising.
All they do is thin it down.
Yeah, I suppose so. I don't know enough about airbrushing.
What do you do with your paints? You thin them down.
Yeah.
And so...
Ironically, sometimes I use them to thicken up really runny paint that I've got.
Army painter?
Yeah. And,
I run into that problem Army painter.
Yeah.
And army painter is one of those ones that... So, was it last year? Last year I was talking to Taylor. One of our other Pathfinders.
Yeah, friend of the show, Taylor.
He was looking at getting a 3D printer. Because we were talking about it. Well, he ended up getting one of those paint shaker things.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Those really high-end ones.
Yeah.
Instead of a 3D printer.
Hmm.
But...
I mean...
When you're using Army Painter, it's actually not a bad idea to have a shaker. Because you sit there and
it for quite a bit.
And then you still got to open it up and get it on a paper towel first. Because sometimes it still doesn't.
That's not a bad idea, actually. Like, I usually just put it into the wet palette, and it just makes a big pool, and then I go and put it somewhere else.
Yeah, so when I'm doing the Army Painter, depending on a couple of them, I shake it up as much as I possibly can,
mm-hmm.
Almost to the point where it hurts. And then when I open it, I have an extra piece of paper towel that, okay, it's good consistency. Then I go to my wet palette.
I need to look into, maybe there's a 3D printing shaker thing. That'd be kind of rad.
I've seen somebody do it with a drill.
Yes, I've seen the drill ones.
Yeah.
You stick it to the end of a drill, which I guess I have. That could be one way to do it.
I mean, technically, you take one of those remote control. Ooh, I work at Goodwill. There's always remote controls. Because you take one of those battery operated, because it's just a gear thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And you could do it and 3D print the gears for it. And make yourself, oh man.
We promise this show won't just be talking about 3D printing stuff. But I won't lie, that's a lot of the hobby I've been doing lately.
Well, yeah. Between 3D printing, what else have you been doing? That's pretty much all you've been doing for a hobby, isn't it?
I mean, to a certain extent. So, I did play in the Dead Zone
Revival. Yes, I wanted to talk to you about that.
Yeah, so that was, it was an absolute blast. It was a great time. It's a shame that you couldn't join us.
I had to work.
But
I had to work so Nick could play.
Yeah, right. And Nick was my first opponent. It's great that he's coming from, like, was this his fourth game, maybe?
That was his fourth or fifth game.
Yeah. Just destroyed me. I talked about my build before. I was running GCPS, which everyone was a little shocked about because I normally run Rebs. Just trying out some stuff that I've painted, okay? But it was a double Strider build because we were 200 points. And so Nick had brought Asterians, mostly a Cypher list, the Marionette list.
Marionette list with two
Spectras. Oh boy. I have not faced off against enough Spectras. Because Spectra's I nasty. Underestimated them, and I got one of my Striders got one-shotted, and one got taken out in two hits.
Yeah, and so he was actually playing the shooty Spectras.
The shooty Spectras.
So I've only played the melee one.
Yeah. The shooty Spectra is scary good.
Seeing his list, because it was one of those, so he only has a starter and a Spectra.
Yeah.
So he was trying to figure out, so he asked me to borrow some models to do it, and I'm like, yeah. So conveniently, I had a second Spectra that I hadn't built yet. I'm like, well, I guess I'm doing it with a gun.
Yeah, yep.
They're nasty.
They're nasty, because they're AP3,
yep.
At least, if I recall correctly, because my armor meant nothing. And Nick, so the thing most people, our listeners...
Kings of War dice just transferred.
he's really good at Kings of War. Not just because, like, he is very good tactician
wise. He loves that game.
He's really good. Also, his dice are also crazy good. So it's a perfect combination for him.
Nick would be our hot dice.
Yes. Yes. Nick hot dice.
Yeah. To steal it from Coach over in New York.
Yeah.
Nick's our hot dice.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It's pretty ridiculous. And like his dice are really good. And he used like flight to its full advantage, got up to a high point, was able to navigate around to get a clear shot that I didn't anticipate.
And, which is funny because forever bugging you, Brian, putting your stuff out there for me to have clear line of sight. So now you finally figured it out.
I figured it out and he still managed to find a shot for it. And it's scary. I forget if they shoot on fives.
I think so.
I think they shoot on fives. But, like, my return fire, like, I even messed up the rule because we forgot that they're also stealthy. You can't get a clear shot back against them. And, because I took a shot at it with my heavy sniper rifle because, it at least had armor-piercing one. And Spectres, for the most part, are lightly armored.
They're lightly armored, but they have an energy shield.
They have an energy shield. And stealthy,
so they can't be caught out in the open.
They're kind of scary.
Like, Rob went all out on the Spectra.
Yeah.
I absolutely... And it's funny, because I remember when the Spectra, before it actually got released,
mm-hmm.
he'd sent us a message and was like, I know you guys like Gundams.
Yeah.
Check this out. It's like, ah! Case in point why I have two of them, and I don't even play the Asgardians.
But no, so that was my first match.
So the coolest thing about the tournament, because, yeah, I couldn't play, but I was able to come over on lunch and then come over afterwards, was Daria and Elizabeth.
Yep. Daria and Elizabeth.
Four states?
From Virginia to Michigan. At least, like, Ohio, probably Pennsylvania?
Pennsylvania, Indiana.
Probably not Indiana. Kentucky. Daria and Elizabeth, feel free to let us know your route,
four,
which states.
I think it was four states.
But yeah, they came over
just to meet us.
Yeah.
Like, talk about an honor. Like,
yeah.
It's awesome that they got to play Dead Zone with you guys.
Exactly.
But, like, it blew my mind that they actually wanted to come all the way over here just to meet us.
Yeah. And check out Michigan, but, like, we appreciate it anyway.
Yes.
We appreciate that we're on the same level as, like, the nice big beaches of Michigan and whatnot. But no, it was an absolute blast seeing them getting to chat. Yeah. I did get to play Elizabeth.
Oh, did you? Okay.
And
she had Marauders.
She had Marauders, and ouch. That one we were on, and I think I'll be posting the pictures of the mats that we had set up, because we had five mats just in case we had an overflow kind of thing. And we were, for Elizabeth's, my fight with her, we were on the jungle one, which you've seen before.
Yep.
Adam
built that one from scratch.
He built it from scratch. Yep. It's a really cool map. It's hard to, like, it's a very dense map.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way, but it's like, it's hard to get those lines of sight.
I would love to see Adam take that board and turn it into a display board.
That'd be pretty cool.
Because that, I mean, so obviously Adam's a huge Astarion player and Veerman player.
Yeah.
For him to, like, that board at this point, I think it would be really cool to take that and go that display board. Because it's a really cool board.
Mm-hmm.
I think there is definitely some struggle with playing on it.
A little bit. It's because it's so tight.
Because of it's tight and it doesn't have, it doesn't have, like, a smooth surface in a lot of places.
True, true.
Which, I mean, but the board itself
it's
looks
very
amazing.
It makes it very unique, too. Yes. Like, you just, you're not used to playing on a dead zone match on a board like that.
Yeah.
Like you're saying, because there's, like, a little trench for a river.
Yep.
You're on grass as opposed to flat ground.
Yep.
Stuff like that. I'll post a picture of it. It's really neat. But, so in my match against Elizabeth, like, I'm a shooty team, and I can't see
nothing.
And all of a sudden, mob beasts are on me.
Because she had quite a few mob beasts.
She had three or four.
Yeah.
It was one of those things. Like, that was probably my closest match.
Yeah.
I did have one closer match, but, like, this was a really good one, where it came down to, like, we were at the end of one round. And she's like, I've got, like, 22 points. And I'm like, I've got, like, 16. I'm like, and we're doing, like, oh, you won. It kind of snuck up on us just because, you know, it was fairly head-to-head.
Right on.
I played against Dom.
Yep, and I heard you lost that one.
I lost that one, too.
So, for me, like, when I showed up, Dom, the first thing he said to me is, my dice like me!
Yeah.
It was like, finally, Dom's dice turned around on him.
Yeah.
As we've talked about before, like, Dom has always had.
Nick has hot dice. Doms are always out to stab him in the back.
They really are.
But it was a really fun match against him. Right. We've played a couple times in the past, but it was really cool to see things like his plans really come together and his dice support him.
It's
like,
good.
Like,
good.
That was great. And then I'm kicking myself. I forgot the name of the last gentleman I played. It was one of Adam's friends from up north, and it was something where we were doing Breakthrough as the last
Was he doing Plague?
Yes.
That is one of the new players from Alma area.
Yeah. Alma, Michigan. And but we were doing Breakthrough, and...
Was it that one?
It might be Rinaldus. Feel free to write into the comments if I completely forgot and or butchered your name. You were a great opponent, because I'm about to explain why. Like, it was something where, you know, the goal of that one was to break through the other side, and you get more victory points that way. Well, we it started off where I was gunning down a lot of his guys, but then. And there was a point where he was just like, man, this is gonna be a wash for me. And I'm like, let's see how
play it, through
let's play it through. Boy, did that game turn around. And it was literally can I get this last kill to get enough victory points? Because it was like we're trying to run Striders off the edge of the map gain 5 victory points.
Well, yeah.
And it's like, I need this last, I either need a move dice, which didn't show up, or I need this last kill.
Yeah.
And I win.
And you didn't.
And I didn't. And so it was, and he was talking about it afterwards too. He's like, that was the closest game that I think I've had
those
today.
Those games are fun.
Especially it's always a blast when it does maybe start off that way where it's like,
we've played games where it seems really, it's like,
you're okay, maybe on that back foot, but like
your, monkey, your AP,
Alpha Simian,
that game, you thought I had that game 100% in the end of the first round. Cause I had wiped out half of your stuff. And all of a sudden that guy came around and killed everything.
Right. Right. So,
it changes so fast.
It changes fast. And that's one of the great things about Dead Zone.
Yes.
Is that there is that it
the
really can
is
swing.
Not over.
No.
Until it's the end of the last round, depending on the victory points.
Yeah.
So you guys played 200 points.
Yes.
How do you feel about playing 200 points again?
It was fun. Like I said, bringing 2 Striders was like my main thing. So,
sure.
And I would say that was one of the things kind of going in with the GCPS. They're kind of a force. This is just, you know, my experience with them is that they're kind of a force that they have strengths.
Yes.
They work best if you play to those strengths because they don't do much else. And so with, I won't lie though, I was thinking, man, I'm going to bring 2 Striders. Yeah, it's 200 points, but who is going to bring enough firepower to take out 2 Striders?
Apparently.
Everybody.
Plague, Marauders, Asterians, Enforcers.
Everyone brought enough firepower, and it really wasn't even that much firepower in the grand scheme of things.
But the other cool thing was, is you also had hacking in this tournament.
Yeah, so that was another big thing. And Adam did, you know, really, really played around with, how he wanted to incentivize that.
Yeah.
Cause, that was one thing he went into this tournament wanting to do was, hey, you know, here's things that people just don't use in a competitive setting.
Yep.
And it's like, I want people to do it. I want to have that little extra challenge,
sure.
Into the mix. And so it was, hey, there are terminals on the map. I've got them preset on each one where they're going to be. And so, you know, if you hack them, they're 2 victory points rather than the regular 1.
Yep.
And you get a tournament point on top of that. So, and then there was, you know, tournament points for winning.
Yeah,
because
I was hearing it some of the games, like, it came down to that hacking.
It came down to the hacking.
On multiple games. Which is actually a really cool built-in tiebreaker kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's because it's like, I know another way is attrition, but it's a nice objective-based one. Because an attrition could really be, you know, okay, I went up against a swarm force of zombies.
Yeah.
And
you get 0 victory points for it.
0 victory points.
I killed 30
I worked hard for that. But no, it was, I thought it was a really neat way to incentivize it. I actually, that was one thing I made sure I did at least is everyone,
is
I made sure I got the
cool
hacking points. So yeah, I think that was a fun way to do it. I know in our previous tournaments, we've done things where it's like we've included tournament point rewards for taking out the leader or taking out a specialist or something like that.
Being the first to get to this or that. Yeah.
It's a fun way to really, to stretch the field a little bit.
It changes it from, oh, I'm just going to go in and kill everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not care what the mission is. Mm-hmm. So this is your mission in 1, 2, and 3, and 4, but I'm bringing a big shooty list. All I'm going to do is shoot everybody.
Right.
Well, if that's what you bring, that's cool for you.
It's cool.
That's what you're going to do, but you're on tournaments like this,
you're probably going to be beat by someone that went for those other objectives.
And that was one of the things I was talking to Dom about, and Dom said he was super excited because he was very much so playing the objectives.
Yeah.
And it actually worked for him.
Yeah.
I think, didn't he go like 2-2?
I forget if he went 2-2. I know I was the only one that lost every game. But no, I still had an absolute blast. I love that zone.
That's why we do this.
Yeah.
And that was a great primer, actually, for a couple of you guys, because we have Michigan GT right around the corner.
Yes.
Which is going to mess with a whole bunch of you, because it's a point drop down to 150 points.
Yeah.
Mostly because it's Friday night, and 150 points can be really quick.
Yes,
So that's why I went with that direction. But it was a nice primer for a couple of those guys, Nick, Ronaldo, and there was one other one. I can't remember his name.
Another guy from Alma.
But they're newer players that newer Adam brought into
and,
it.
And he was, the other guy was at the top table.
Against Daria,
against Daria.
Because Daria won the tournament.
Daria won the tournament.
Comes to Michigan to meet us. And see Michigan and destroys.
Cleans house.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, for the new players coming in, 150 points is a great place to start to not overwhelm them.
Yeah.
And be quick and easy, because Michigan GT is going to be kind of busy.
Yeah, we've got a lot going on at the Michigan GT, which is going to be October 8th.
For Dead Zone.
For Dead Zone.
9th and 10th for Kings of War. And then the 9th for Dreadball League of the Night.
Yes.
Which you have to help me to figure out what I'm supposed to bring.
Yeah.
Because I signed up for it. with all intents and purposes, I plan on playing.
Yes.
So I'm going to bring my Tron Tag.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know what else to bring. Because I know... So when you're doing League of the Night...
Yeah.
You start with the base list that's in the book.
Yes, we're going to start with the base.
But then you want to bring a cheerleader or a captain or potentially a coaching assistant.
I'd recommend, like, it doesn't hurt to kind of plan ahead, right? That it's like, okay, at a certain point, I'm going to have enough to...
By the way, we switched to talk about Dreadball.
Yeah. but you're going to want to have enough... or expect that you're going to have enough mega credits to purchase some of these extras. And so something that will help your playstyle, like a cheerleader or a coaching assistant, if you bring those models.
So it really is the same as the league play.
Yeah.
Because we've played a league, so I learned that process.
Yeah.
In the League of the Night, there's nothing taken out of it. It's really that...
It's the complete league experience... The biggest difference is the timeline. Like it's all crammed into one night.
Yeah.
So you play your game, you're tracking your experience points and everything like that as you play. There's like the underdog bonuses there. So if you're going up against a team that has more points than you, you're a little bit behind, it gives you some extra, points to spend on, say, maybe an MVP. That can help, pave the way maybe for a game. You can get like loaned players, so you're not necessarily having to pay a whole cost of a player. Because there's like the transfer fee and stuff like that. We'll be doing a quick rundown on each time. So basically you play your game, you're tracking everything, and then we do have like 15-minute blocks to kind of do that upkeep, make sure you've got
the paperwork
and everything's ready to go for the next round, and you really are, you're gonna keep that same team all through four games.
So it's really a league in the night.
Yeah,
which is really cool. I mean, so it's so like when you're building a list to take to a league in the night, obviously you start with your core list.
Yes.
Do you think there's like a MC amount that you would project that you're going to end up with to help you build your team?
It's kind of hard to say. But like, I would say like it's been my experience. I've played League of the Night a couple times now, and League in general, and I can safely say like I've typically always gotten at least a coaching assistant. I usually get like two cheerleaders, and so you're looking at, you know, at least by the second game for sure having enough to be spending on stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. And even two, like not only as far as like your team growing like from wins, but even if you're kind of on the back foot and you're struggling a little bit, you're going to be going like, up against teams that give you that underdog bonus, and that's where you can go, hey, I'm going to bring Brickbat, and I'm going to have my Judon team clean house. We've had one player that has done something like that before.
So I plan on playing. I've purchased my ticket, so I'm on the roster. I'm going to throw this out right now. Since you're the TO for Dreadball, I want to challenge John Jack for round one.
Okay. John Jack, if you're listening, you've been formally challenged in the public in all ears to hear. So if you accept this challenge, leave a comment in the section below.
Well, so this
would be fun to put his little commercial break right here.
Hey, everybody. John Jack here from Dreadball. Commercials, you've seen me. You love me. You know you want me. Here you're listening to Dead Zone, the podcast with Rick and Brian. Don't turn that dial or I'm coming for you.
Well, because that's one of those things. So we've known John Jack for 4 years. We never really get to play games with him.
No.
Because we're always running stuff, and he's always at the booth at Adepticon.
I'm remembering, like, the only time I think I've got to play him in anything was that terrible game of Vanguard, where it had been so long since we played, and I'd been playing Kings of War, that...
Oh, is that the one where me and you played first?
And we just did it wrong. We just did it wrong.
Playing in the bunker in Chicago with Pat?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
And we apologized for that the profusely. Rules were so wrong.
It was still fun.
It was still, we still had a blast. And actually, I'm kind of getting back into the Vanguard.
Like, yeah.
Bug is kind of biting me.
Well, but
been printing a lot of Fantasy Dream. Which maybe I would put into Dead Zone. Who knows?
Well, because that's something that we talked about last year. Because we did. We played, we haphazardly put it together with some of the rock terrain
and
some of the fantasy terrain that I had and made a Dead Zone board out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Now that we both have 3D printers, because the other day I was looking and there's a rock right there that's perfect for a cube.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's actually the right height, too.
That's awesome.
So that takes a cube, but you still have that ability to climb up on top of it. So the idea, and it kind of reminded me of...
We switched back to Dead Zone, if you guys
didn't. If you didn't notice, we're back on Dead Zone. Remembering watching some of Tyler's battle reports, where he would have those little trees and the pot plants, potted plants setting up in all of his scenery. And I absolutely loved that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what spurred that whole why we played that last year.
Yeah.
And now that we have the printers, it's like, we need to actually
do
a non-traditional Dead Zone board.
Yeah.
Because we've seen Adam's board.
Mm-hmm.
That whole jungle feel
with
actual Dead Zone style terrain and cubed. Yeah. Let's go further and do the rocks in. Speaking of scenery, did you see that board on Facebook? Sorry, this just reminded me of, I can't remember who did it, but it's in the Dead Zone Facebook fanatic group where he did the lava.
Yes. Dead Zone board. I've seen the lava one, yeah.
Oh, man.
So cool.
And that plays right into this. Like, play Dead Zone on, because the scenery is the third opponent.
Yeah.
It always has been and always will be.
Mm-hmm.
So have some fun with it.
Yeah.
And you're a little crazy.
you really can, like, there are those times where Dead Zone can feel kind of restrictive because you have that cube requirement, the dimensions of it. But you really can play a little fast and loose with the, you know, what constitutes a cube. You know, maybe it's a half cube. Maybe it's, I know, like, I've got some Death Ray design scenery.
It's just slightly off, but it's still slightly off.
And so what I do with it is basically say, okay, well, this section is the cube and that makes the most sense. And then the overage is just stuff in the next cube next to it.
And really,
that's all you really need.
That's it in a nutshell.
Yeah. And so, like, I still have planned to do this tree project with a bunch of cardboard that I'm going to stack up in different shapes. But at the same time, with that plan of, like, okay, this is going to give you a half cube. This is going to give you a full cube. And then this will be, like, how you can extend and branch out to another tree.
So that brings up another thing. So a couple of the other guys in town that will have resin printers, they are doing a thing for 40K. One of them's an orc player, so they're doing this whole big orc.
Sure.
But they're using the supports from their models.
Okay.
So when you take a resin model off of its supports, you get these, like, tree kind of things.
Yeah.
I've been curing mine and throwing them away.
Right.
But I saw this, and you're talking about the trees, and I'm like, wait a second. On this next batch of models that I'm going to print after I fix it, because I ruined my printer.
I ruined mine today, too.
It's a thing. Yeah, but you didn't, like, pull your LCD monitor screen off of yours. I kind of sort of did.
No.
But curing those and seeing about using those as essentially alien-ish plant life.
Yeah. No, that's
like, as you were describing the trees, I'm like, wait a second. I could do that.
It goes back to, I remember back in the day, like, some of the old White Dwarf magazines, and they would talk about making
Trash Train.
Yep. And so it'd be like, you know, here's a coffee cup and you stick a straw in it. Suddenly it's an industrial, like, vat. Or I remember they're always like, you know, keep your sprues because you can cut them up and glue them together, and suddenly you have, like, those giant tank traps that you'd see, like, on the beaches of Normandy. Yeah. Right? It's, and so I have boxes of those cut-up sprues.
Well, and I mean, they really can be used for
a lot of stuff.
All of the games, but, like, you can use them for Dead Zone.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Oh, yeah.
Because the biggest thing about the whole cube thing is you also want scatter terrain.
Mm-hmm.
The trees, the grass, the tank stoppers. It's all scatter terrain.
Right.
Because the one thing you don't want when you're playing Dead Zone is just the cube scenery.
Yeah.
Because you're going to give your opponent or yourself these clear line of sights that are, they're going to slow the game down in that it's not as fun.
And I just thought of something.
Uh-oh.
So one of the things, one of the projects I did recently is a giant spaceship. Like, yes. I 3D printed a spaceship, which it comes in three parts. And it's kind of long. Like, it was a little bit longer than I expected, but it was scaled to 28 millimeter. And so, like, the door on it
is the right size,
which was what I was wanting. But, like, I set it on a Dead Zone board, and I'm like, ooh, this is taking up a lot of space. But I'm like, I had the thought, I was like, oh, I could set it on top of something. And then I just had another idea with uncertain scenery is I set it
in
down, and then you have scenery above it.
Oh, ooh, wow.
That could be fun. And I've got those roadway pieces that this is my landing strip then. Anyway, just talking about, like, cool things to put on a board, right? You can do these random spaceships and stuff like that.
And, like, I don't think that players would be opposed to this kind of stuff in a tournament.
No.
Because it's Dead Zone.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole reason why you play a Dead Zone tournament is to have fun and hang out with people.
Yeah.
And that's why I like Dead Zone, because it's not your hyper-competitive. It can be.
There's
players that are very hyper-competitive.
And it's okay to be hyper-competitive.
Definitely.
But
for the most part, when you look at the Dead Zone landscape,
mm-hmm.
we're here to have fun. Some of us have a beer and play a game.
Yeah.
And just kind of hang out with people and enjoy that part of it. And that's why I love Dead Zone so much.
Mm-hmm.
So having those wonky tables, as long as they're set up consistently.
Yeah.
Because that's the biggest thing when it comes to a tournament is you want your boards consistent.
Yeah, as long as, we've talked before about asymmetrical play and the advantages of that. Really doesn't have a good place in a tournament setting where it's better if it's a more even, balanced chance of victory, right, from either side of the board. And so it just makes sense. It's the way it should be for a tournament.
Oh, yeah.
But if you're doing, like, a narrative-based tournament, like...
Like the games that we played
and
how we ran that out, we still need to play a 300-point game.
Yeah, we're coming up on a season finale / new season.
Oh, wow. We are, aren't we?
Yeah.
This is August.
This is going to come out at the end of August here. And this is episode 123... excluding a lot of our interviews.
like the main episode.
This is the main episode, 123.
So next month is 2 years of us doing the podcast.
Yeah. Wow. Hey there, I'm Brian.
And I'm Rick.
This is Blaine. You are listening to Dead Zone, the podcast. Keep listening for more excellent material from these two amazing men. Blaine out.
We need to make sure we do the 300.
I don't know
how we're going to figure out the schedule for that, because
September
is September.
Oh.
lots of volleyball and soccer and school and... Yeehaw!
Yep.
But... Yep. We've managed to figure it out every other time. Case in point, here we are recording. It works.
If not September, maybe October as a season opener.
We'll play with it. We'll see what happens.
This is definitely one that we are going to get out to you guys because we know folks are interested in it. We're excited to play it. We just want to.
I'm not really sure how I feel about taking on two forces, but it's still going to be fun.
It is something where, like, the only thing with it now is we've got the plan kind of figured out.
Yeah, the plan to play it, how the lists are going to be done, what you're playing versus what I'm
the,
playing.
The map itself is kind of figured out, so it's
just putting it on the board and getting it played.
Putting it on the board, playing it, and making sure that it's going to be a fun time for everybody involved.
Yes.
Which, for us, obviously, is a pretty big deal. But yeah, so we've got that to look forward to. But no, it's still a very exciting time.
Well, so obviously we can't say anything about it because nobody knows anything.
Yeah.
But we will be hearing from Rob next month.
Yes.
Which, that's going to be huge, really, for our 2-year anniversary, too, is the fact that we're going to be talking to Rob again about the next Dead Zone.
Yes.
And all I can say and all I'm hoping for is that the rules committee talk to the guys on the Dreadball committee.
Mm.
Because if you look how the league is set up in Dreadball.
Yeah.
The league runs amazing.
Yeah.
I know it's part of that is because it's a sports game.
Yeah.
So that makes a huge difference.
Mm.
I'm hoping that there's been some insightful look and because I would love to see a new campaign. I'm really hoping this whole thing gives us a new campaign. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, that would be really nice. Like it's a more robust system could be a lot of fun, and we'll just kind of have to see how it's all
shakes out.
We'll
see what happens. Let's see what else we got. I mean, hobby wise, I've been working on some 3D stuff, and of course, getting scenery set for the Michigan GT.
Yeah, we've got a lot of terrain that we're getting all set up over here.
Because the one thing I'm actually excited to have at the Michigan GT that we haven't done before is we will have 3D printed objective markers.
Yes. Those things
that can actually block line of sight.
Yes.
If you're playing a Forge Father.
Well, you know, some shorter guys can hide behind this one.
Yeah, I mean, your Judwan Medic might be able to hide behind that one.
I could probably fit my Yindage behind this one. His tail will just...
Or your little guys. What are they?
Z's?
The Z's. The Z's could hide behind that.
So that's... Yeah, no, like... It's one thing I like about having a 3D printer is now really being able to get that next level of immersion into the world. So, like, making objective markers that are legit things.
They're definitely legit.
And you know, getting all that, you know, painted is the next step. I'm pretty stoked.
So, funny, I'm going to leave the objective markers unpainted.
Okay.
Because they're going to the players.
That's a nice way to do it. It also helps, like, you know where they are.
Yeah.
Because that is one trick with some of the terminals.
Yes.
In the last tournament I played. Like, they can kind of blend into the scenery. Yeah. When it's a lot of gray on gray, and then you've got gray terminals. Yep. But no, that's a really cool.
Yeah, I was thinking about it as, okay, I need to print off enough of these for each of the tables. I'm hoping I have more players show up than what I printed for, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And as we watch the numbers come in, because the GT is posting and giving us a heads up of how many players we have each time. And it was like, you know what? Screw it.
Yeah.
I'm going to print off enough so everybody can get a set.
Yeah.
So everybody's going to get a set of two 2-point victory points and 1-point victory points. I'll get two of those. So
awesome.
It's official set. Just because I could.
I've got something similar planned. A little bit smaller scale since I'm running Dreadball. but Jeff Burbage has made a bigger Dreadball piece.
Oh, okay.
That he's made available for 3D printing. And I'm going to make... And I'm probably going to paint these.
Well, sure.
To have a bunch that people can then take home with them.
Awesome.
As the League in the Night official Dreadball.
Cool. And then let's see what else is going to be there. Of course, I printed off I have the trophies.
Yep.
The Jesse Cornware Sportsman Award. One for each of the tournaments.
Yep.
They're
very excellent.
That was... So... The STL for that one was from John Jack,
mm-hmm.
And I just blew it up to make it as the trophy, which I think is really cool.
Yeah.
I think Mike Carter actually has already used it as a trophy.
I think so, yeah.
For some of his tournaments. And then, you know, play games and have some fun.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to run Dead Zone, be there most of the day Saturday, and be able to play in Dreadball, and then run around and do some stuff. Because what I'd love to do is be able to do some demos for Overdrive.
Yeah, yeah. I believe Pat is gonna be there. There is gonna be an official Mantic booth.
Yep.
Which is pretty exciting. And so if you coming in, stop by that booth because you know it's always nice not to have to pay shipping in this day
yes.
and age.
Yes, especially right now.
Especially right now, and we believe word is as of right now we are gonna have a copy. At least a demo copy of Overdrive there.
Hoping so.
You know, we'll fates align. We'll have
it in
a demo
fate's
copy.
Hands slash Rob's hands.
Yeah. if not, we will have the kind of bring your own Overdrive board since you can play it on the Dreadball Extreme.
Dreadball Extreme. There's a couple slight changes to it.
Yep.
Like the amount of
victory points and turns.
Yeah, victory points and turns, rushes. Is it rushes?
Yeah.
Okay. I couldn't remember if they changed the verbiage on that one or not.
I think it's still rushes.
But anyway, whether we're wrong or right on this, you guys should also...
We'll find out at Michigan GT.
But you guys should also jump over and check out Crippled Fox Studios on YouTube. That is John Jack's channel, and he's actually got some Overdrive videos up.
Yeah.
He's also been doing some more Dreadball stuff, but his Overdrive videos, he's getting some action because he's going to be doing demos of that at Gen Con, which is soon. The weekend the weekend before the Michigan GT.
Right.
That's crazy. So he's gonna go to the G he's gonna go to Origin not Origins.
He's gonna go to Gen Con.
Gen Con.
And then Michigan GT. And then the next week after.
He's gonna be over here. That's busy.
That's a busy.
Yeah, no thanks. God, I'm jealous.
Pat's doing it too.
Yeah, exactly.
And Rob, if you can make it down from Canada for Gen Con, for Canadian Rob.
Canadian Rob, if you can make it to...
Dead Zone, the podcast, Rob.
Correct.
Yes.
The OG.
The OG Rob.
The OG of the Dead Zone podcast. Man, I would love it if Rob and Jack could show up in Michigan. Dude, that would be so such cool. A cool surprise.
I know that they're kind of waiting to see how things
so shake I out. Was actually... So I was talking to Countercharge about the Michigan GT, and one of the guys with Countercharge that was doing the interview is actually from Canada, and they just announced that they can cross and everything.
Oh, that's awesome.
As long as they're fully vaccinated. So there's definitely light at the end of this tunnel when it comes to Canada coming down and play with us.
Yes.
Because I would love to get some games in with Jeff again.
Oh, yeah. And especially now that I live closer to that edge of the state. It would be kind of fun to you know, we all just kind of meet up at, like, Port Huron or something like that again. Maybe that copy of Project Pandora is still sitting in that store.
The Battle Zone.
The Battle Zone.
That was the thing that always caught my eye. I was like, man, is that still there? I want to go to Port Huron again.
Yeah. But no, so we got an exciting month ahead of us.
Yeah. I mean, September is going to be a rush of prep.
Yeah.
And it's funny because it's going to be a rush of prep for everybody.
Yeah.
Because you have, across the board, you have all this stuff going on. Mm-hmm. In our little part of the world, we're going to be rushing to get everything ready for the GT.
Because if you haven't checked out our interview with Jeff from the Michigan GT, definitely check that episode out. It was really good. But he talked about, you know, prepping for the event and how, like, he's got to 3D print a whole bunch of terrain. And you know, what are the challenges of, like, taking a break for the year?
Yeah.
And having to wait to see how things shake out. But also, like, he gave a lot of great content, I feel, on you know, when it comes to starting up your own...
Doing your own event.
Doing your own event.
Starts at that one game, but now you have...
Starts at the one game, but, like, doing things like, you know, approaching, like, terrain vendors and stuff like that is, like, hey... You know, we're looking to start this event. Can you hook us up in some way? Whether that's a discount, whether
that's free that's stuff. Coming.
Yeah. Or stuff like that is always really cool. And it's obviously, it's also an episode of our show, and you should definitely check it out.
Yeah, duh. Because we self-promote.
Yeah. Sometimes we forget to do the end
the
of the
whole
show.
Social media thing at the end. Yeah. Hey, like us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Twitch and TikTok. Not yet.
We got a TikTok?
Not yet. I almost did it.
We're gonna do.
I almost
we're
did
gonna
it.
Do little songs. As
we
you're
are
painting.
Not doing songs and dances. We're not doing any of that. But I've thought about jumping on TikTok.
Hey, you know, hey, it could be fun.
Yeah, right? Hey, no different than what we do now.
True, except they'd see us.
That could be scary for some people.
Yes.
Hey, it's Community Pat, and you're listening to Dead Zone, the podcast 2.0 with Rick and Brian.
Rick and Brian? What happened to the other two yahoos? Why are you wasting my time with these guys? I don't even know who these guys are. Dead Zone 2.0. This is stupid.
But no, it's... and since we did it right now, I'm not going to bother recording it.
Oh, but don't forget to like and comment on them.
Yes, like and comment.
Because through the...
Algorithms and magic. Yes.
That helps us.
That helps
I
us.
I don't know.
It shakes our
this
hand.
This sounds all way too, like, real.
A little bit. Yeah, this
that's not us.
This magic and mysterious algorithm. That's a little too real for us.
It's a little too real.
So just share the video. Like send these episodes to friends that you know.
Yeah, and
that's a great way to do it too. Or you know, you can just listen to them yourself, and that's fine. We appreciate it.
We do. We really do.
Yeah. We've got a great community here, and always like hearing from you guys.
I think people would freak out if, like, in October, we actually started doing, like, an actual intro and an actual close. It's like, what happened?
Just do it for a year and see.
Just to see what people said, and all of a sudden our listening goes down. It's like, yeah, we're not listening to you. You're boring.
You're boring.
Well.
You start off so robotic, like, well, that's because we had a robot voice record it. But no, it's we got a lot ahead of us going into year three.
Year three
of the show for us. Still crazy. It's like 100 episodes preceded us.
I know.
No, this is still it's still an absolute blast.
Oh yeah.
To be part of this community. Definitely want to. Speaking of, I do want to give that shout out again to the Mantic Writing Contest at our Bard of Mantica Facebook group. It's still ongoing. The keyword for the quarter is damsel, not whatever word Rick thought.
I don't know what I was thinking. I still didn't get anywhere with it, so I guess that part doesn't really matter. I mean, well. Like, I get all the ideas in my head, and I'm like, I want to do this, I want to do this, and then I go to write something, and I'm like, that doesn't work.
You just start jotting them down. Like for a lot of my ideas, they will just be like a sentence or two, and then I'll come back to them later and forget what I wrote. And so, and then just kind of keep going from there until suddenly I have a story. It's a fun way to do it. My own entry for the contest, I kind of need to get working on it a little bit more.
Gear?
It's one that I'd actually kind of started, like, it's been an idea that I've had for a while, and I thought it was a really fitting entry for this particular contest, and so it's probably going to be the shortest of the stories that I've written so far, but
short's not bad.
Short's not bad. As a little teaser, I think it's going to be me kind of creating a fan canon for how the Rin nomads kind of live their lives out in space as a nomadic race of Rin people. and stuff like that. Like, I'm pretty excited to play around with it. I'm doing my best, as I think I told Golden the Gamer, I mentioned to him, this is still kind of set in the same universe as my previous two stories.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do as on the nose connection as I did the last time, but know that you know, it is a shared space. It's big, but it's but it's, we share it together. These are the voyages.
Someday, no, never mind. We're never going to have an episode where we don't connect it to something.
No. Why would we do that? But no, so I've got to kind of button down and get that typed out. I've got a decent start to it. And it is something where I've got it set up where, like, the fluff expansion, I've got just like a chunk of the story I can dedicate to that as as much as I want to.
Sure.
And then the rest of the events will kind of take place. So
sounds great.
Yeah. So you got that to look forward to, and I know I think it sounds like we're probably going to have more entries this time than the last time, which is really cool. Sometimes that's just kind of how these contests type work, where you know, some people have those stories, they want to get them out right away. Sometimes it takes a little bit to kind of get that motor running again.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty stoked to see what people start putting out, and I'm gonna try to follow the rules this time and like submit it via email before I post it online for everybody to read. Kind of got in trouble for that last time. It's all good. And the whole point of the contest is to have fun with the story.
Exactly.
So, but yeah, So, got that to work on, too. We're not busy.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
That's not even including our real lives.
No. No, not at all. But yeah, so got a lot on the docket, but in a really good way.
Oh yeah. Seems like we always have a lot going on, which is kind of fun.
Yeah.
Cuz there's not really ever a dull moment.
No, it definitely makes for a lot to talk about.
Yeah, and it seems like sometimes when we do the somebody's home. When we're doing the podcast, it's like, what are we going to talk about this week? I don't know. We'll figure it out. And then all of a sudden, it's bam, 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 bam.
And then wow, all of a sudden,
we had a lot to say.
We walk away going like, man, we could do like an Intel Pack tournament and like, and all we those could do these campaigns. And
we could like, do this, we could do this, we could
do this. We could have dinosaurs in Dead Zone. Like,
oh, dinosaurs in Dead Zone.
Yep. Rob, make it happen. I want more dinosaurs.
Oh, that would be cool if we started getting more sub-factions.
I mean, I wouldn't say no.
Yeah.
That would be really cool. Someone actually was talking about that on the Fanatics, the Dead Zone Fanatics page. There's like a little confusion for newer players. Sure. About the difference between like an elite list versus sub factions,
because
they didn't, you know, elite list used to be, it's like, this is your list that you have to pick from.
Yep.
And the sub factions one is a bit more of a themed thing.
Yeah, it's more of a theme, because right now, really, I mean, so you have Enforcers have Pathfinders.
Yep.
Forge Fathers have Brockers.
Yep.
Rebs have like Rebs.
Alpha Sim. You have the Alpha Simian route to go to, or Terror Type.
I mean, the Rebs is the big one, though, because you have that leader that could be multiple different things.
Yeah.
Which
the cell leader
creates that sub-faction in the Rebs.
It's so much fun.
And then you have
Asterians have Marionettes.
Asterians have the Marionettes and the
And the Matsudan now.
Matsudan now. Is that it? No. Veermen have the Void Shockers, Dingy Majors.
Yep.
What are they called? I should know this. I have like 30 of them.
Volt
chasers.
Volt chasers. Because I always remember, because I would mix them up with bolts, which are the Marauders.
Yes. Oh my God, I would love to have a goblin sub faction. Rob.
Yep.
Rob, where's my goblins?
Make that happen. And then you know, plague.
Plague doesn't have a sub faction.
That's something that we've talked a little bit about. That it would be really kind of neat to have. Is some kind of like Dr. Simmons sub faction?
Yeah.
Of the plague, but at the same time.
But then you have Maison Labs.
You do have Maison Labs, so you'd need to make them unique.
A plague sub faction would have to be incredibly unique, and I'm not really sure
what that would be
like because of what the plague has in it.
Yeah, because the plague is so diverse to begin with.
I mean, technically speaking, you could run Dr. Simmons and a whole bunch of zombies, and there's your sub-faction.
Yeah, yeah, you have zombies versus 3As.
Yeah.
As kind of your main ones.
But then, like, with Maison Labs, though, mm-hmm. Maison Labs can have that sub-faction of a different lab.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool.
It'd be neat to see an expansion on some of the other corporations that are out there.
Yeah.
The trick would be is making sure it's not just a rehash of like the GCPS.
Yeah, it needs to have that, like, you know the plague.
Mm-hmm.
You know the Nameless.
Yeah.
They're both creepy monsters.
Yeah.
But they're very much so their own things.
Mm-hmm.
Where you have GCPS and you have Maison Labs, you have a lot of GCPS troops in Maison Labs, but yeah. Maison Labs has that uniqueness because, well, you bring in Crossivores and 901 and Plague Victims that GCPS doesn't have anything like that.
Yep.
But then, yeah, because you look at the distinct difference between a Forge Father list and a Brocker list. That's 100% different. They play completely different.
Yeah.
Enforcers with the regular Enforcer list versus Pathfinder list.
Mm-hmm.
They play different.
Yeah.
And the Pathfinders have been around for a while, and the Brockers have been around for a while. So mm-hmm. it's not like it's a new thing.
Yeah.
But I would love to see some more built on that. I mean, two-part, because that gives you potentially new models.
Yep, which is we're always looking forward
to. We always want new models. But it also helps expand that lore mm-hmm. and that universe.
Yeah.
Which I'd love to see some of that stuff, too. So
always excited we'll for more of that. We'll
wait and see.
Yep. But, well, I think
that about does it.
That probably about does it for episode
123. What I love is we did our ending, like, 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, in a way.
Sort of.
Well, I'm going to leave it there.
That's a good place for it. Because then we started talking about the book. Not the book, about the writing competition.
Yep.
Which could turn into a book.
It could turn into a book.
That'd be awesome, too.
I'm pretty stoked for the compilation stuff that they're going to be doing with Wayne Hussar Publishing.
Yes.
I just finished reading Edge of the Abyss.
Okay.
From Wayne Hussar, and so that it's a Kings of War one, but it was really fascinating to read because it's an anthology of stories.
Yeah.
Set in Panathor, but it was really neat to remember that event and like, you know, you have characters that are like, wow, we won the day. And I'm like, I remember how this ends. but no, there's really good stuff in there. And I'd love to see another entry like that in the Warpath universe. I know we've got,
containment protocols.
Yep. Ghosts of the Past is another, I think that one was collection. Just a web
yep.
collection. And then the dossier,
and then of course you have First Strike. Have, The Last Hurrah. But then you also have the source book from Warpath.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we're at right now from a lore perspective in the Warpath universe. Yeah. There's so much. Let's go. Yep. Let's have some fun. Yep.
I really wish I could write.
I really do. Because there is, when you're looking at the models, like, oh my god, I could tell such a good story with this if I figure out how to write it. Oh well.
One day.
Someday.
Out there.
That's somewhere.
Beneath the pale moonlight. But I think that's a wrap now that we started singing.
That's totally a wrap that we're going to sing. I ain't doing that.
Have a good night, everybody. American Tail is a fun movie, right?
I loved American Tail. Don't get me wrong. I love that movie. But that's okay, because I went the totally other action one.
So I
kind of... somewhere.
I won't lie, like... at some point, I'm going to do a Veerman list, but there is that part of me that wants to make them mice instead of rats.
Well, I mean, I do have my biker mice. Biker mice from Mars. I mean, how can you go wrong with that?
Just because I...
Now that's a show I'd love for them to remake.
That it appeals to my like the aesthetic that I like a bit more. Wasn't as big a fan of rats as they are, but I also recognize they're really good at the game, and
they are.
Mm-hmm.
And they're twofold. I mean, the Veermans actually, like as a faction, they have a lot more tricks than some people give them credit for.
Oh yeah.
It's like, no, you just take Veerman and you take Smoke and you're good. No, there's so much more they could do.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with the chasers.
and I do kind of think, like, part of it is that, like, we've had Escalation for a while now.
Yeah.
But it also kind of butted into the beginning of Pandemic. And so I feel like those tournaments.
Yeah.
Where people really.
We didn't really get to see a lot of. Big play with the chain with the
new list
with the
stuff.
New Veerman. I mean, really, we didn't get a lot of see a play with anything.
Yeah, so I'm kind of stoked for when that happens and people that have been
maybe that's what I'll play
tinkering around.
Maybe I'll play. No, I did that in the last campaign. I'm not doing that. That would just be me.
Gonna play Marauders.
No, I was thinking of playing Veerman.
True, we did do that.
That's what I did Veerman last campaign. Time, and yeah, no, never mind.
That was still a really good fight, the one that we had.
Yes.
That was tooth and nail, as they say.